Labor Day, Monday, September 7th. What a lot in one day. Such a difference has jet flying made in our lives. Lennon and I choppered out to Andrews and got in the small Jetstar with Senator McNamara, Congressman O'Hara, Larry O'Brien, Dick Goodwin, and flew to Detroit for what the press insists on calling the opening speech of the campaign. Actually, Lyndon's speech was a soft-toned, poetical sort of speech about unity and the great opportunities in the decade ahead. There was a sizable crowd at the airport where no crowd had been planned, including such now familiar faces as former Governor Swainson, Mayor Kavanaugh, and Millie Jeffrey, with whom I rode in to the Cadillac Hotel, settling such matters en route as old folks' homes and children's hospitals, to whom she would later deliver the beautiful flowers I received. There was a fantastic-sized crowd all along the way. And in Cadillac Square, now renamed Kennedy Square, like so many things across the face of this country, there were supposed to be 100,000 people. At any rate, there were acres of humanity. Walter Reuther had just preceded Lyndon with a roaring speech, and then came Lyndon's, the content of which was quiet and serious. And I wonder how it would sit if all the audience out there were labor people, but I guess they were just folks. The most memorable lines were, "Make no mistake, there's no such thing as a conventional nuclear weapon." And another, "No president of the United States can divest himself of the responsibility for such a decision." That is, the responsibility to drop the bomb. Over and over and over, the theme was unity. And one of the things that confronted Lyndon as he stood on that platform, he knew, was the possibility of a strike by Reuther's auto workers that might flaw the prosperity of today. It was interesting to sit on the platform with Governor and Mrs. Romney, both of whom greeted me very warmly. The occasion does have a sort of nonpartisan connotation, because after all, this is Labor Day, although it is also traditionally the platform from which a good many candidates have started their campaign. Truman in 1948, and this was on everybody's lips, I must write him a love letter about it, and Kennedy in 1960. At every opportunity, going in the hotel, coming out of the hotel, going to the platform, coming away from the platform, each time at the airport, I shook just as many hands, acres and acres and acres of hands, as I could reach. At one point, somebody grabbed Lyndon's hat after a mild tussle and pushed it to him. There was one man in the crowd carrying a banner which read, "Read A Texan Looks at Lyndon Johnson by J. Evetts Haley." And there was one little girl who fainted because she was so excited. She was about 13, and she was standing weeping at the edge of the crowd as we departed, and I plucked a yellow rose from my bouquet and handed it to her. I'd sum it up as a happy day, a successful day. An old miracle of this age, we arrived back at the White House about 3:15, in time for me to work on the mail, to call Mary Rather and see if she was going to be able to settle her children and household and come up here and do volunteer work for us for the next 2 months. She can and will, but it will take her 2 weeks or more to arrive. And Jesse Hunter called me, saying that she had decided she would move into the Sam Johnson house in Johnson City and be the sort of combination caretaker and curator without portfolio. Lucy came in, and we had another good long talk about raising children in general. I'm happy to say she approves of the way we have raised her and Linda. And I'm also a little startled to discover that she thinks it was a good idea that her daddy did at times use corporal punishment. It so happened he used it on Linda and not on her ever. But she says it had a good effect on her, nevertheless. She's thinking about some of the children, boys usually, friends, who are, as she expresses it, JD, are close to being, and what would have kept them from following that course. She's told me over and over how grateful she is that I trust her and I trust Linda, and that therefore they are bound not to do anything disgraceful, not to exploit the freedom they have. At one point she said, "Oh, I never could get mad at you. You're too passive for that," which did indeed make me feel like a small gray mouse in the corner with my hands folded meekly. Anyway, she's a delight to have. The end of the day was long and lazy. I actually felt like it was the last rose of summer. Lyndon and I had dinner on our trays in his bed, and we listened to the hi-fi, read magazines, and talked.